Amen. He pretty much said everything I know, too. So we could probably go home, right? I'm just teasing. We are honored to be here. I didn't know anything about this church until a few months ago when Marshall applied, and I was calling Pastor and his employer at the cabinet shop. I was like, okay, what is this church? And just trusting the Lord that this was something that was of him. And then I found out a few other people that know Marshall, and then I was like, okay, I can actually get on board with this, and we'll accept this application, and that kind of thing. And so when I talked to the pastor, it was obvious that this is the type of church that we want to be involved with, that we want to share our ministry with, and let you use us to educate your children if that's the way the Lord sees it. My name is Mike Smith. As he introduced me, I was thinking, that's a very unique name to these people out here. I don't even know how to say it anymore. I always thought of Indiana as that's back east. But my wife is a Hoosier. She grew up right here in Muncie.
Amen.
And so she set me straight. She says, it's the Midwest. And I was like, well, you get a map of the United States and go to the middle of the West, and you're in Colorado. How could way out east be the Midwest? And I learned through my wife educating me that the United States was not past the Mississippi River at the time when they said this is the middle of the West. And so, okay, I understand. So that means it's Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania and Kentucky and Tennessee all. Am I wrong? Okay. Still wrong. So now, when I think of the Indiana, I think of, well, that's where the Lord blessed me with a wife. That is a place that she grew up. It's you do have to go up on a bridge in order to see very far, but that it's pretty flat. I love the fact that you have a lot of feed corn out here, and we like horses and cattle and that sort of thing out where we live in Utah and Colorado as well. Mike Smith. Well, let me just introduce my family here. Is this how I do this? Is it the left button or the right one? It's the right one. Okay. There's my family. I have been blessed with 5 children, 3 children-in-laws, and 2 grandchildren so far. And my eldest daughter, Rachel, is here with us. My wife's name is Stephanie, by the way. This is kind of the Smith clan, if you will. The Lord has given us a unique ministry over the years, and I'll explain that in a few minutes. But to get there, I wanted to share with you that I did graduate from college. It was a 2-year trade certificate from Bob Jones University's Applied Studies program. They used to have a trade college there back in the day, and I was one of the graduates of that. It was a long story, but I grew up in a Christian home. My dad was a church planter, pastor out west, and I was saved at an early age. I was saved at the age of 4, believe it or not. In California, 1976, I was baptized in the American River on Easter Sunday, freezing cold weather out there in California. I grew up in that Christian home, and I never went to a public school, always went to private Christian schools, and I didn't like it very much. Not that it was a Christian school, but that it was school at all. That was not me. After my parents seeing that I really struggled in school, especially with words and spelling and English and that sort of thing, they took me to a doctor to see if there was anything wrong, and he said, well, he has ADHD. Well, isn't that what they tell everybody? Almost. My parents said, ADHD, what's that? Well, that's attention deficit hyperactive disorder. He has trouble paying attention. Well, my mom kind of scratched her head, and she was like, that's not my son. He can pay attention. When he's watching Scooby-Doo, he'll watch the whole thing. When he plays Legos, he can stay in his room for hours paying attention to that. I think maybe it's selective attention disorder. And that's the way they treated it. They didn't give me the Ritalin and all of that. They treated me as any other kid, in that you need to pay attention to things that we tell you to pay attention to, right? That's what parents do, because I said so. So growing up in that environment, going to Christian school, my parents made me go to school and learn. I didn't like it, but it was good for me. One of the things that kept me in school when I was in high school was sports. I had to get at least a C average in my classes in order to play in sports. And so it was like, oh man, in order for me to play soccer, in order for me to play football, basketball, baseball, I had to get the grades, and that meant I had to study. Well, I studied way more time-wise than my sisters and brothers because I wanted to play sports. And they got straight A's and I got C's or D's. Getting on into high school, I really was struggling with that and saw that it wasn't necessarily that I was dumb or stupid. It was that I didn't have the drive behind learning some of the science things and some of the English things. And I took a class that was called algebra in ninth grade, and oh man, that was the hardest class ever. I didn't understand how you can know what you can't know. And that was mind-blowing. The next year, I got into geometry, and I could fall asleep in class and understand angles and understand circles, and that made sense to me. And it was kind of funny the way that I got straight A's. My first A ever, besides PE, was in geometry. And the Lord used that to teach me that I wasn't stupid, because there was other kids that struggled in geometry. Well, in college, I decided to major in construction. And construction has a lot to do with measuring and geometry and fractions and angles and that sort of thing. And it was kind of neat to see how the Lord gave me the mind to understand construction, how to build stairs, how to build rafters, and understand it. Not a lot of people do. It's different than the English mind, where there's no absolutes. Relativism, right? Nobody's getting that. English, yes, there's supposed to be rules, but they have exceptions. Geometry, there's rules, and you stick to them. And there's no way out. With that mind, the Lord said, you do have a talent. And when I was in the trade program at Bob Jones, there was a couple of guys that came through an architecture class, and they shared some pictures of mission trips that they had gone on. They had already gone through the construction program at Bob Jones, and they asked my teacher, is it okay if we come and share about our mission trips? And he was like, yeah. And it was a three-hour class, so we did nothing but missions in that architecture class. And the Lord spoke to me through those guys, not audibly, but sharing God's word with people through construction. It was very interesting. They would show pictures of an oak tree with a bunch of school desks out underneath it. And they said, this is the school before we got there. And then they showed pictures of a cinder block building with a roof on it and the desks inside the building. And they said, this is the school after we left. I was like, that's pretty neat. They can use the building for a church. They can use the building for education. Here's these guys using their talents that they learned there at Bob Jones, that the hands-on stuff, and they were using it on the mission field. Well, then the one that really got me is they built a pontoon boat for a missionary. I was like, okay, explain this one. Built a boat. Well, they said that this missionary was on an island. He paid thousands of dollars every week to get a helicopter to drop groceries from the mainland. And this pontoon boat allowed him to go grocery shopping and get supplies from the mainland without having to hire the helicopter. And I thought, that is really neat. That's a way that saved American churches thousands of dollars. And here, it's because these guys were willing to use their talents for the Lord on the mission field. So that's how God really worked and got a hold of my heart to do what we started doing next. I met my wife, Stephanie, at a camp out in Arizona, the Bill Rice Ranch West Branch. Morris Kleiser was the director, I don't know if anybody's heard of Morris. I heard a song that the pianist was playing that was written by Andy Gleiser. Andy was in my junior camper cabin that summer when we met. My wife was called to missions that summer under the ministry of Morris Gleiser in that camp. And she knew that I was a construction major at Bob Jones. And we were kind of interested in each other, at least I was interested. And she felt like, you know, I can't really pursue interest in you, Mike, because you're in construction. And I've been called to missions. And I said, you don't understand, I'm called to missions too. And it was like, I had to explain to her that missions is not just planting churches, but it's helping those church planters. And one of the ways that you can do it is through the construction program. And after I explained that to her, just like most Hoosiers, I guess she was like, okay, let's get married. And I like to tease her with that because people laugh and I like making people laugh. That wasn't exactly how it worked, but that's almost, it was pretty close. And we, after we got married, we started this ministry, serving missionaries internationally through HELPS. So back to the name again, Michael Smith, being the most unique name in the world, we took our name Smith and made an acrostic out of it to state our purpose of what God called us to do. We started serving missionaries internationally through HELPS. That meant using our abilities and talents, hers being in piano and teaching, mine being in construction. And then later, as the Lord worked in our lives in preaching and teaching and filling the pulpit for churches without pastors and just being involved with missionaries internationally, that's everywhere. That's Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost, the whole world. And so we would go to France, and we'd go to South America and different places outside our United States area. We would go to Samaria. That's Indiana, by the way. Not for her. She married a Samaritan, right? You guys, that's out west. That's okay. Using the gift of HELPS. That's a biblical term. 1 Corinthians 13, Romans 12, the diversity of gifts that the body of Christ has. And that's what we've done for 30 years. Traveling around the country, around the world, being in different churches, helping with building projects and missionary projects, camps and things like that. So we'll go, PowerPoint distorted things a little bit. Our whole purpose in this was to glorify God and show His unique excellence to the world. This was our first prayer card. We started out about 4 or 5 years without a mission agency. We had a hard time finding a mission board that would allow us to do this type of ministry. And in 1998, we printed this prayer card, and we were accepted with Biblical Ministries Worldwide. We're the only missionaries that did a ministry of HELPS with BMW. But we went into serving local churches. We would help other missionaries, again, wherever they're located, all over the place, and did a lot of overseas projects as well as projects right here in the United States. About, I would say, 50% of our projects were out in the Rocky Mountain West. Another 25% would be the rest of the United States, and another 25% over in the uttermost parts, other places besides the United States. We did a lot of work on camps. We've been in about 90 different ministry building projects. This one here, I think it says 20 different countries that the Lord's allowed us to be in. And what's this one, honey? 40 different American states. Different organizations, 100 different organizations that have been affected by our ministry. I began to think of what's going to happen when I'm gone. What's going to happen when I can't get up on the roof anymore, or I can't get down on my knees and spread mortar to set tile? Who's going to do it? And we tried our kids loved being up on the roof with Daddy. Don't get me wrong, but the Lord called them to different ministries, and different places where they're at, and not any of them have the desire to be in construction missions. Can you believe it? That was hard for me to believe. But I began thinking, what's going to happen? How do I make sure that the ministry just doesn't just fall by the wayside? And there was a lot of things during that time period in the last, I'd say 10 to 15 years ago, that the Lord showed me that, boy, with the skilled labor in decline, with skilled labor with a Christ-like servant training, where's that going to happen? Who's going to fill the need there? Where do we get more construction missionaries? And I began praying for that. One of the things that the Lord put on my heart was a need for Christians in the trades. A lot of churches that we've been in, you find Christians that are in the trades, but they're not, it's not normal, especially to find someone that's taking a stand. There's a need for project managers and contractors and framers and all the trades. If you go down the list, there's a need for all of them in general, but especially if they're Christians. And then the need for Christian leaders. There is all kinds of needs. I'm sorry these are a little distorted because of flipping that over to PowerPoint. As we would travel to churches, Stephanie and I have been in probably 700 churches in the last 30 years. We see needs all over the place. There's needs for youth pastors. There's needs for musicians. There's needs for... you want to clone yourself, Brother Fry? There's a lot of needs for people to lead music. Good music, I should say. There's a lot of needs for youth pastors and deacons. I mean, especially in some of these places that are still unevangelized out west. There's some first-generation Christians out there, and that's about it. So you get a lot of baggage with that, and there's no deacons. So how do you do that? Well, you gotta train up the new ones from the new generations that God leads to Himself. And so seeing that need, it was just overwhelming. In the past 20 years, we've had to turn down about 200 projects. These are when a missionary or pastor would email me or call me on the phone and say, hey, what's your schedule look like 6 months from now? Is there any way that you can come and remodel our bathrooms? Or is there any way you can come build a new auditorium for us? Or that type of thing. And I had to say no. We estimated over 200 times that was the case. That's not easy for a guy that has a hard time saying no. But the problem is not something that's new. The Bible says here in Matthew 9:37 what the problem is. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. That's the problem. There's not enough laborers to go around. But what I really like is the next verse where it says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And God got a hold of me there, and he said, if you're concerned about this ministry keeping on going, then how about praying that I'll send people? So when a pastor would call me and he'd say, is there any way that you can come in a few weeks and help us out while you're out here? And I'd have to say, oh, I'm sorry, we already have plans for that time period. But I'll pray that God will send you someone. That was encouraging to me, that I had a solution to the problem. I'm not sure it was so encouraging to the pastor until God answered that prayer. And then for me to see how God answered that prayer and sent him somebody that's probably way better at it than I was, and God had that in mind all along, but that, wow, I have a solution to the problem of the lack of laborers. You have a solution to that problem. You have the direct access to God. Praying the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. That's huge. Well, then the Lord took it a step further. Said, Mike, Psalm 78, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. That's what I want you to do. So we began taking young people with us to the mission field. And it was neat to see how I could invest in them, not just showing them what a sawzall does or how to cut a straight line, tools and construction, but what it's like to be faithful, to read your Bible every day. What it's like to be in church every week. How about coming with me? And to see God work in those lives and how he now has those young people in different ministries, that's incredible. I'm ready to just jump for joy. Well, that still wasn't enough for me. I'm saying to God, let's multiply, let's do this. And he said, yes, that's right, let's multiply. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. In other words, go teach them what I've taught you. Go tell other people the things that you've learned from my word. Tell them what I've told you. Tell them what you've learned, the experiences. And continue in the things that you've learned and have been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Not just continuing in the things that you've learned, but teach others who taught you those things, where it came from, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So that's when we began the research to start a Christian trade college. I started making phone calls. I started writing down all my ideas. And this vision that God put in my mind for a passion, a passion that God gave me, a dream of starting something like the school that I used to go to. Bob Jones, their trade school went out of business maybe 15 years ago or so. That was a heartache for me. I had a hard time with that because I know that God used that in my life, but also I know of a few other men that have been through that program and are using that at camps or full-time ministry. Whether a maintenance guy in the bus barn at the church or guys that are doing maintenance on the property or whatever. So God put on our heart to expand our ministry to start a trade college. And found out that there's not that many Christian trade colleges. I found two. One of them was just beginning. This has been about 10 years ago now. And they had been given some equipment from Bob Jones when they shut down their automotive program. So they started out with an automotive degree. My area of expertise is in construction. So we had that. I wanted to start with something like that where we could put into the program mission trips. You have to go on at least one mission trip a semester. You know, all these thoughts that are in my head. Now, because I'm a visionary, I don't know how to implement anything, right? And that's some of the things that I've had to learn the last couple of years. Well, I'm going to show you this video, and it kind of gives you an idea of what we're doing. Some of the things that are left out of this video are the facts about the pastoral studies, the biblical counseling degrees, those types of things that we have access to that we are teaching and want to portray as well. So watch this 3-minute video and I'll get back up here. Oh, I didn't show the video.
The idea of our mission is to provide industrial arts and liberal arts at the same time, both Bible, healthy environment, and industrial arts, construction, things like that at the same time. But our mission would be for someone that is gifted in those talents to realize or understand that God has given those talents and that the purpose is to use those talents for the Lord. So our mission is to develop those talents so that a student can be used to their fullest potential.
So the vision is to teach young people the Bible along with an industrial arts. And I think that's a really unique fit in our society today. I think it's very needed. And there's no one better to do it than my husband, who's been living it for 30 years.
When I heard about Legacy, I was like, wow, okay, Christian trade school. I would love to come to a Christian trade school and learn how to do trades and get a Bible degree.
I like the Christian environment around the job site. As we work here, we're able to apply construction ideas to Christianity and vice versa. Building a solid foundation was our first day here.
My philosophy of Christians in the trades is that when we do work for God's glory, not compartmentalizing our lives on Sunday and then Monday through Friday being a different person.
Many pastors push Bible college to their young people, to their own family members, as well as young people in their church. And I think that's good. Many students, however, are not cut out for Bible college or a liberal arts training. Many students are gifted by God in the area of working with their hands.
The trades are important because they're necessary. We need these kind of things. I've just been able to use this as a means of ministry to help people. When you have a desire to serve the Lord, you want to do your best, and you want to use every ability that you have and all of the strength that you have and everything that God gives you.
A lot of different avenues of learning for each student so they can customize it to exactly the calling God has placed on their lives.
The Bible says every man hath his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. And not only does it say that, it says we are to use our gifts or our abilities or talents for the glory of God. Probably the thing that I tell the parents the most that are interested in Legacy would be, now you don't have to choose. Now you don't have to force your kid to go to Bible college or trade college. You don't have to choose between the two because we're both. That's the main reason that students are coming, is because they don't have to choose between the world and the ministry.
So now that you've heard the testimony of how this has started, can you glorify God with me that this is what He's doing? It's incredible. This is a dream that is coming true. This is something we've been working on for years and years, and wow, it's a reality. We opened the doors for students to come just in August of this year. And it's still like, wow, this is really happening. This is our sign out in front of our building that's one of those CNC routers that did all of the cutting it out by the computer, and then all that blue and white is epoxy that a gentleman made for us, and I think that's really neat that we can kind of implement some of that stuff right there in front of our building. We've been given some facilities in Marysvale, Utah. This is the valley in Marysvale. The town's about 350 people. It's about a half an hour to get to Walmart or Home Depot, that kind of thing. We're nestled in the mountains there between the gold mines and the uranium mines. It's not radioactive anymore, but some people think that it might be. This is part of the facilities that God gave us. We have a full cabinet shop. That's what Marshall's interested in. It's a three-bay cabinet shop, so we have a paint booth and a place where you can assemble all the stuff, and then the shop with everything that you cut and drill and all that kind of stuff. You make a mess in that area. John and Mary Lou Innes up there in the right-hand corner, they're the ones that donated the property. He had a ministry that was an addictions ministry where he would teach young men that had made some not-so-good choices in the past and they were addicted to whatever. And he would come and house them in this facility and teach them cabinetry. They would build pulpits and communion tables for churches all over the Rocky Mountain West and teach them how to read their Bible and how to kick the habit, how to come to church on a regular basis and to respect the Lord and to dress up when you come to church and that sort of thing. He was getting up in years and asked if I would take over that ministry. Probably, I can remember at least three times, but probably more like four or five times over a 20-year period. And I kept telling him no. I kept telling him, You know, I've got a family. I've got four girls. Now I've got four teenagers. There's no way I'm putting them in that environment. And he asked me again in, I think it was 2016, and he asked me if I would pray about it. And I did, and my wife, a couple of weeks into it, she said, how about asking Mr. Ennis if he would allow you to do what your dream is? If he could use the facilities for a trade college, see what he thinks. And so I did, and he said, oh, Mike, I would love it if God used this facility for him, for his glory. It doesn't have to be an addictions ministry. I just want God to use it. And if you were going to do that, I would give you the whole building. So we went through the process and trying to figure out how that would work. And 8 years later, the Lord made the timing work. And Pastor Ennis has donated all of that facilities with all of the cabinet shop, all of the dormitory, the kitchen, the two staff apartments, the bunkhouse where we can start a place for the girls to stay. And just a great place to get started. One of my board members, so I have a board of directors there. There's six people on that board. They bring a lot to the table. But one of them has said, how do he put it? He said, this is a maternity ward. I'm like, okay. He said, yeah, it's a great place to birth this baby. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. That we have capacity for probably 15 without doing anything. We have capacity for maybe 35 or 40. Maybe 50 if we renovate things to our fullest capacity before the Lord moves us to another location. It's a great place to get started. We have a church about 2 miles away, or two blocks away, that we can walk to, Marysvale Baptist Church. It's a good, solid church, good doctrine, good music that we can be a part of, and that's where my wife and I have become members about a year ago now. Maranatha Baptist University has a Bridge to Campus program, and we have a contract with them that we can use that Bridge to Campus program. This allows students to get a degree if they want, a Bible degree, a business degree, whether it's a, what's the lowest level? Associate's degree, bachelor degree, master's degree in a bunch of different areas, and then they can take those classes online as well as virtually. We have a classroom there that's set up with the virtual stuff so they can raise their hand and the teacher calls on them and they can interact with the other students and all of that. And it's kind of a neat thing that the Lord's just kind of dropped in our lap so we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We have good professors that are teaching those classes so a student can come and get the Bible training that they need accredited so they can also apply for the FAFSA, the government funding, because Maranatha is accredited. That's a huge deal when you're getting started. We are not accredited yet. We are looking at the possibility of doing that in the future. We've got a lot more to do first. but we have that option. We started with construction as a trade, welding, and cabinetry. Those are the three things that we have the capacity to do right now. We'd like to add culinary arts by next year and probably automotive. And we're looking at a cosmetology field that's going to take a little bit longer because of all the regulations with cosmetology. Just kind of give you an idea, have you ever thought of a cosmetologist that has a biblical counseling degree? How vital that could be? I mean, what does a cosmetologist do anyway besides hair and nails and makeup? They have to know how to talk because that's what they do all the time. It's just back and forth, and you hear all this gossip and everything. Where does it come from? The barbershop. Remember Andy Griffith and the barber? Everything happens at the barbershop, right? Why not have somebody that knows how to tell these people what the Bible says about those problems and how they can deal with it? I just love that concept, and that's kind of what we're doing with all of these trades. Why not have a welding pastor? Why not have a missionary builder? You know, there's all these things that God has allowed us to have and have passions for and we're good at. Why did he give us those? Well, it's so that he can be pleased with us. so that we have a way to please him. Started preaching a little bit early. We did have our grand opening there in the fall. God is answering so many prayers. Those four things there are the local licensing that we went through. For those of you who don't know, Utah is filled with people that are part of a pretty major cult, a man-made religion started by Joseph Smith, probably out here in Ohio, I think it was. And they're called the Latter-day Saints. They believe in a different God, but they want everyone to believe it's the same God that we have. They don't believe that it is Jesus Christ that is God. They believe that Jesus is different. So that's a different Jesus, right? Because the Jesus that we believe in is God. With that said, it's hard to go through certain licensing things or permitting for building projects if it's a church or something like that with everyone on the city council that's part of the LDS church. They don't want people to know the truth. No, that's not true. They just think the truth is something else. They don't want people to think that the truth is only the Bible. They've added these other three, what they would call scriptures, to it. So it's hard, and we're very blessed that God brought us through that process of getting a business license with our town. It's very difficult to do when you believe like we believe. And then the state licensing for becoming a college where we can offer a degree was a 10-month to a year process. We had so many things to do. We're still learning from that, but the catalog, the disciplinary actions, all the things that the Consumer Protection Agency wants in place so that students get what they're paying for. We went through all of that, and we were approved this summer, so now we are legal and in operation. And then we went through the federal government stuff to become a tax-exempt 501c3, what is it called? Nonprofit organization, yeah, that's what it's called. A nonprofit organization. And that took about a year. So you can see in the last 2 years since we got started, these milestones that we've been able to overcome, and now we're so blessed with our network of churches that are praying for us, that are supporting us, and allowing us to get to where we are now. There's been mission teams come out. We've probably had 10 mission teams in the last 2 years from different churches come out and help fix things on the building or help me renovate something so we could insulate that classroom and redo the roof. But that doesn't mean we still don't have needs. There's a lot of needs still, and there will be more as we develop. But if there's anybody that has that gift of being a prayer warrior, we would love to be prayed for. Take a picture of this and pray for these requests and those spiritual needs. Questions. Yeah. I know that there's a lot of questions that we can't answer. There's a lot of questions that we can. So stop by our table in the back. We have a display table with some merch back there about Legacy Trade College. So we'd love to answer questions. There's a website that you can go to, and there's information back on the table on how to get to the website and all of that. But when you think about it, pray for us. There is some reminders back there to pray for us. There's some magnets, some stickers, some prayer cards. There's even some carpenter pencils. So those of you carpenters, I keep mine right here in my tool bags, and right next to it's the knife to sharpen it. When you get out your knife to sharpen that pencil, it says Legacy Trade College on it. You can pray while you're sharpening a pencil. Lord, please bless Legacy Trade College. Will you do that for me? Let's get into the Word of God. I want you to turn to 1 Peter 4. This is a couple of verses that we've kind of made our key verses there at Legacy, because it states the purpose and the vision and the mission all in one passage. First Peter 4:10 says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." That's not the first time I've read that. I've probably read that hundreds of times over the period of my lifetime. And every time I read that, it's just so clear. This is life. In the position that I'm in, as the president of Legacy Trade College, I get to talk to young people all the time, and I love that. I love young people. One of the first questions that they have is, where are you located? One of the first questions that I have is, what's God called you to do? What are you interested in? What do you want to study when you go to college? Probably 50%, maybe even more than that, say, I don't know. I don't know what I'm... Maybe 25% of the Christian kids say, I don't know, but I want what God wants. I don't know what God wants, but I want to do what He wants. The other 50% kind of know this is where I'm leaning. This is kind of what I'm thinking. When you think of college students, how many do you know that changed their major after the first semester? I see a lot of heads nodding, okay? So there's even those that think they know, and yet God kind of takes that and He says, do this instead. How many of you know who changed majors 2 or 3 years into it? Yeah, that happens too. It's a process. So when you see verses like this that say, this is God's will, that's kind of exciting. How do you know what God's will is? You listen to Him talking to you in the Word of God. He's given us this wonderful book to tell us exactly what He wants from us. He tells us why we're here. He tells us what we have to be able to use in the time that we're here. Why are you here? Why'd God put you on the planet? Do you know? Well, it tells us all throughout Scripture, but right here in this passage, it says at the very end, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. That's why you're here. Revelation 4:11. All things were created for my glory. The reason that you're created was to please God. Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. What about Matthew says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's why you have the abilities to do good works, so that people can glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's what it's all about. And people wonder, what is the purpose of the church? Well, Ephesians talks about the church. The purpose of the church is to glorify God. What are the ways to glorify God? Well, some are elbows, some are fingers, some are noses. Some are feet, some are stinky feet, but that's the way that they are part of the whole, part of the body, to be able to glorify God. So if you put that in context of Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 that talk about the diversity of gifts within the body that are fitly framed together, you have all these different abilities and these different talents and these different gifts. Why? Well, it's to glorify God. So if you have two preachers that have different personalities, okay, that's in 1 Corinthians 12 as well. There's a diversity of gifts, but the same Lord. There's differences in administration, but the same Spirit. So there's differences, but still the same purpose. Purpose to glorify God. It says here, every man, that really means mankind, human, every human, hath received the gift. So what is that gift that it's talking about? Is that the gift of salvation? Is that the gift of the Holy Spirit? Those are wonderful gifts, aren't they? Those are gifts that are given to every man. It says in Ephesians, they're given to unbelievers, those gifts. Many times, though, people don't receive that gift. They've been given the gift, but they don't receive the gift. It's given before repentance, it says in Romans. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Now, this is talking about Christians. Minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know what a steward is? It's a person who oversees a project, like maybe a project manager. He gets to tell the plumber when to show up. And he better not tell the plumber to show up on the same day as the drywaller, because they don't get along. And so he's a good steward by knowing those things and oversees this project. Well, the Bible tells us we're to be good stewards of this manifold grace of God. Well, let's look at manifold. Do you know what a manifold is? Any plumbers here? You got a plumber? What's a manifold? Yeah, it's like a distribution center, right? You have a manifold and you've got valves on all the different places, and one of those valves is for your refrigerator ice maker. One of those valves is for the toilet in the master bedroom, and one of those valves is for the water spigot out front, and one's for the kitchen sink, and it has this manifold, a distribution center. Are there any mechanics here? Auto mechanics. You might know that there's a manifold on your car. It's called an exhaust manifold. If you didn't have that exhaust manifold, your car would be very loud. It distributes the exhaust so that it's not all in one place. This is what we're called to do, is to be a steward or an overseer of this manifold, this distribution of the grace that God gives. And God gives us this grace, which is the gift that he gives. Now, what is grace? Unmerited favor. Grace is unmerited favor. That means something that we cannot earn. Okay, what's another definition? Enablement. Divine enablement. This is the ability that God gives. We don't pay for it. We can't earn it. But God gives us the ability. So when it comes to this manifold grace of God, this is the ability that God gives each one of us to be able to please him. You know, you have everything you need to do God's will. Every man hath his proper gift of God, the Bible says. Here, every man hath received the gift. Now, because you have that ability, divine enablement, to obey God's word, to do everything that it tells you to do. We may not do it all the time. We fail. That's the human part. But we have that ability. The Bible says we have the access into God's grace. It's like grace is on the shelf, and it's access. We have access to it. We can reach in and grab it anytime that we need it. But so many times we do things our own way without the grace. Can you imagine if all of us dipped into that every day? We dip into that grace, that divine enablement, and then we're pleasing God with everything that we do because we're distributing this grace the way that God intended for it to be distributed. Well, then it says in verse 11, if any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. That's talking about the doctrine, the essentials of the faith, the truth, the light. If any man speak, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If any man minister, this is the second time that we see this word minister in these two verses. That word minister is not just being in front of people, the minister. That word minister means somebody who is using their gift. If you're using your gift, you are a minister. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. That's the grace. That's the divine enablement, the ability that God giveth. And then it says, why? Why do we use the ability that God gives? That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see the whole? All in a nutshell. It's all right there. Every one of us has the ability to do God's will. If we are not being good stewards of the manifold grace of God and doing God's will, why would God show us any more? Teenagers, if you're not already obeying your parents, if you're not already honoring your father and mother, if you're not already obeying the commands of Scripture for you, why would God show you what He wants you to do next? Parents, if you're not already being the parent that you're supposed to be, not provoking your children to wrath, all of those things in Ephesians, if you're not already doing that, how is God going to show you what's next? You have to be doing what He tells you to do first. And then He'll show you what to do next. That's a key principle throughout Scripture. The will of God is doing what He's told you to do. And then He shows you what to do next. And many times He gives you these passions or thoughts of things that, well, you choose. You're doing My will already. You choose what to do next. Where do I get that from? Delight thyself also in the Lord. He gives you the desires of your heart. You may have questions about this type of thing, about what is God's will. And maybe you have questions about who God is or how you can know Him. Come talk to somebody. I will be in the back afterwards at our table. Come talk to me about legacy. If you really have questions about knowing God, I would love to talk to you and show you from the Bible how you can know Him. If you have questions about how God can use you and your talents or your abilities and how God wants you to be used by Him, I would love to talk to you. I know people here would love to talk to you about that as well. The challenge is, be a good steward of this grace that God gives you to do His will and give Him glory. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word and what it means to us, how we can apply it to our lives. And I pray that we would remember this simple concept of that we have everything that we need to please You. In Jesus' name, amen.